This is an I Am Listening original podcast.
I said to them, guys, something is going on, a movement is going on in America. It's actually all about the dynamic realignment of the West, as it's called, right? And I said, you need to go much harder on things like immigration, much harder on things like the cost of living, all the things that people genuinely care about. And I was laughed at. I was totally laughed at. But then when you look at the result that came, and then the fact that Reform has adopted that exact position and how well they're doing since, I feel very much vindicated.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
In this week's episode, we'll discuss the problems facing the county's high streets, councillor defections and declarations in Medway, and what the diagnosis is for Kemi Badenoch following the Tory party conference. I'm Simon Finney, the local democracy reporter covering Kent County Council, and I'm joined by Dan Esson, who reports on the borough and district councils.
Hello.
And Robert Boddy, who covers Medway Council.
Hello.
And also with us is Nikki White, who will be talking about the national scene.
Hello.
Our special guest today is Rob Lammas, the Medway Conservative, who is one of 20 who defected to Reform UK as the Tory conference got underway in Manchester. Dan, what have you been looking at this week?
So myself and our colleague Ollie Leader have actually been looking at a pretty big new government scheme known as the Pride in Place programme, which is sort of like the previous government's Levelling Up programme, but with a sort of vaguely populist spin on it.
So how does that work then, Dan?
So the programme largely consists of distributing money to local authorities to use in especially rundown areas. Buckland and St Radigan's Ward in Dover and Sheppey East in Swale are both set to get £20 million of investment over the course of 10 years. And the councils in Gravesham, Thanet, Medway and the rest of Swale are set to get an immediate £1.5 million each. More interestingly, however, is the fact that alongside all this extra funding, there are going to be more reforms to planning rules, which will allow local councils to have control over the number of vape shops, bookies and barbers in their areas, as well as given councils powers to buy up abandoned buildings and so on. Basically, the ubiquity of vape shops, barbers, betting shops and their association with urban decay and dismal high streets is now so great that the government clearly thinks something drastic needs to be done about it.
Do you think it'll actually work?
Maybe, but it's definitely no silver bullet. You know, the growth of these shops isn't just down to some massive organic growth in demand for them or a sudden enthusiasm for vapes and barbershops among landlords. They're the consequence of a load of different economic pressures, which local councils aren't really in a position to fix on their own. You know, really high immigration is one part of it. Lax law enforcement problems are another. Police previously raided scores of these sorts of premises around the country in relation to money laundering, immigration crime, drug crime, and all that sort of thing. Also, there's the fact that vape shops, barbers and the like succeed on the high street because in some ways they're quite resistant to a lot of the pressures that bedevil other high street businesses, like the dominance of online shopping. The theory seems to be that if local councils are able to block such businesses from opening, then hopefully the market will push other businesses to go for those premises instead. But obviously it was the market which got us to this point, so I guess we'll have to wait and see if it makes much difference.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Robert, what's been happening in Medway?
Well, like elsewhere in Kent, Medway saw a defection from the Tories to Reform. Councillor Robbie Lammas, who I'll be speaking with later in the programme, like the four Gravesham councillors, ditched the Tories, saying the party was, quote, over and joined Reform. Particularly, Lammas says the local Tory party's lack of a challenge to Medway Labour's policy on the removal of flags put upon lampposts was something that he raised as part of his reason for defecting. He also says Reform will be putting efforts into preventing the Home Office placing asylum seekers in residential accommodations out of hotels, which the authority has confirmed the Home Office has been looking into.
Yeah, but that's not the only bit of councillor news this week, is it?
No, this week, Councillor Chris Spalding, an independent on the Hoo Peninsula, who we last spoke about when Medway Council found he had breached the code of conduct because of bullying and harassing emails he'd sent to a nursery owner, has had a vote of no confidence against him by one of the parish councils in his ward. Stoke Parish Council said after the conduct committee, it felt it needed to do something as their members have faced bullying and intimidation from Councillor Spalding, and also said they were unhappy with some ward improvement funds either not being spent or, in some cases, being spent outside the area. Councillor Spalding said the allegations were a mixture of untruths and misrepresentations. The decision is largely symbolic, as Medway Council doesn't have any sort of recall mechanism for councillors, but it is understood that other parish councillors within the All Saints ward are considering putting forward similar motions.
So, Simon, what's been happening down your way?
As the Conservative Party conference got underway this week in Manchester, the leader, Kemi Badenoch, took time to admit that her party had made mistakes before losing control of big councils like Kent County Council. To be honest, she kind of stated the obvious when she said that in the 14 years of office, the Tory government had made some mistakes, and which she readily acknowledged. But Mrs. Badenoch also said that the new Labour government that got in last year is also doing badly, and people are turning to protest parties. Notice that she used the plural parties when, in fact, what she meant was the singular party, that is Reform UK.
Do you think Kemi Badenoch can last the year?
I interviewed her a couple of times this year in the run-up to the May County Council elections, and the fact that she came to Kent twice probably gives you some idea of the fact that they knew that they were going to do very, very badly. But no one thought that the Conservatives would collapse from nearly 60 members at County Hall to just 5. So it'll be up to the members to decide if she's had a good conference. The positive reaction to her speech this week will probably show up in the polls. But a speech in the main hall by Sir Mel Stride, the Shadow Chancellor, was very well received by and large, but the hall was scattered with empty seats. And I think that became something of a metaphor for the Tories in opposition. Even when they have got something interesting to say, there's hardly anyone there to listen to it. So and that's what happens when a party is wandering around the wilderness. So, well, you ask if Kemi can survive. Well, November is her 1-year anniversary, and that's the trigger point at which the Tory rules mean that she can be removed from her post. And my guess is that they'll probably stick with her until May, when the elections happen in Scotland and Wales and other parts of England. No one expects that the Conservatives are going to do particularly well, but she might survive beyond that if the Labour Party has the catastrophic result that everyone is predicting. So if Labour's performance is significantly worse than the Conservatives, that might be seen in a bizarre way as a something of a win. Observers see the Tories' historical efficiency in managing the economy as a main point of difference to the other parties presently, and it's one area where the party could actually start to rebuild trust with the electorate. So some think there's no point in trying to out-reform Reform on immigration when your own record in government is so abysmal. So, but meanwhile, Reform continues to top the polls. But my guess is that she won't survive in the long term. But equally, if the next choice is Robert Jenrick, I'd say the wilderness years are to continue. But we'll come back to this a little later on. Nikki, so what have our MPs been up to this week?
There's plenty going on, but I keep coming back to a piece this week that Dover and Deal Mike Tapp wrote for Kent Online about the horrific attack at a synagogue in Manchester where 2 worshippers were killed before the attacker was shot dead by police.
Why did Mike write something?
He also holds the role of Parliamentary Undersecretary with the Home Office, and he's also worked at the Ministry of Defence in a counter-terrorism role. We don't have many synagogues here in Kent, but when something like this happens, you feel for the communities involved. Of course you do. And it could so easily have happened anywhere, including on our own doorstep.
Yeah. So what did he have to say?
He said the synagogue attack had left him shaken. It was also a time for unity and not fear. He described it as an assault on our shared values, on the freedom to worship in peace, and on the safety we owe to every community across our country. Now, we all know Mike is never afraid to speak out, and he said communities from every religion, class, ethnicity and region have a duty to come together to resist what he described as the poison of division and the scourge of extremism. And he also said that hate must never be allowed to win over compassion, empathy and tolerance, and we must speak out against it. He also added that we must not project frustration with global political events onto the everyday British citizen trying to get by. There's ordinary people just trying to go about their day-to-day lives, and then they're frightened. They're seeing protests in our streets, and at a time when we're seeing that happen, he said he refused to accept that our country is divided and urged people not to let fear become the loudest voice.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Our guest this week is Councillor Robbie Lammas, who represents Princess Park in Medway, and joined us on the podcast a few episodes ago to tell us where he thought the Tory party was going wrong. Well, this week, he was one of 5 in Kent and 20 across the country Conservative councillors who have defected to Reform. Councillor Robbie Lammas, welcome.
Thank you for having me back. It feels like I never left.
So let's begin with the obvious question. Why have you decided to leave the Conservative Party and join Reform?
There's a couple of things, really. The first thing is that people locally in Princes Park, where I represent now for Reform, have been telling me for a long time this year, Rob, Tories have had it, mate. You need to get over to Reform. They just don't have that trust, that foundation of trust, in order to make any policies receptive.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is that I've been studying Reform's direction of travel a lot. And I feel like I understand where they're going. And I feel it will be very, very good for the ordinary people of Medway and the country. And I feel like it will be very successful electorally as well.
Last time we had you on, you sort of talked about some of the issues you were having with the Conservative Party and where you thought they were going wrong and what they might need to change to fix that. How long have you been considering moving to Reform rather than sticking with the Conservatives and trying to fix with inside it?
Well, I spoke with Lee Anderson in January. That's a long time ago now. He said, oh, I'm sure we'll be on the same side again one day. And I said, oh, I'm not so sure, Lee, but ha, ha, ha kind of thing. Then it got me thinking over summer. I sort of studied what's called the communitarian conservative movement in America.
Okay.
And it's really interesting. It's basically like based on a version of conservative philosophy that would come from the 18th century by a gentleman called Edmund Burke. Mm-hmm. And it's all about societal bonds and understanding that it's really important to look after the health of communities because they shape individuals and therefore their life chances. And it's working in America for Trump 2.0, not Trump 1.0, which was the first go around. And it's proving extremely popular. And I think it answers the questions to the challenges of today posed by mass migration and the upheaval of the bond between the individual and the community. Nigel Farage, I felt, has always been that kind of conservative. I actually sat down with him for over 2 hours in 2018 and was threatened with the sack for doing so.
Oh, right.
Because I wanted to suss him out, you know, because there's people have that thing about, oh, is he a racist? Well, when you sit with someone one-on-one for 2 hours, you get a feel of what they're actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just an honest, normal bloke from Kent. You know, his kids were educated down the road from the studio in Rochester. He gets it. He absolutely gets it. And I always felt that he sort of followed that kind of conservatism. But when he got Danny Kruger to defect, that was a huge thing for me because that confirmed, right, my analysis is correct because Danny, you know his politics because he wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
I can see where they're going with this and I want to get involved.
Was there sort of a final, whether it be a local thing or a national thing, like you say with Danny Kruger moving, was there a key moment where you thought, right, I've had enough now, I'm going to go to Reform?
Yeah, there were two kind of flashpoints locally. One was over flags. So Medway Labour came up with a video, which is insane. If you haven't watched it, go watch it.
Mm.
It says that all the flags that have been put up flying around are offensive to ethnic minorities and they should be teared down. And if you disagree with us, vote us out of office. So I was like, oh my goodness, this is the biggest own goal of all time, particularly with Medway's proud maritime history. I mean, statistically, I think we have less flags flying in Medway than any point in our entire history, seeing as we don't have the ships anymore, you know? So I was like, this is insane. You know, I was raised by a World War II veteran who was buried in the flag. I love looking at the flags when I'm driving around. And I thought that's a huge own goal. And I wanted to go and hold them to account on that. And I wasn't supported by my local Medway colleagues on that front.
Mm.
I thought, that's strange. We have a different idea of what the policy should be, which is, you know, everyone gets on with some colleagues, doesn't get on with other colleagues, whatever. But the idea of having a fundamental disagreement on matters of policy is a very different thing. Then came the issue of the redistribution of asylum seekers. So Labour's bright idea for solving the scandal that is the migrant hotel scandal is to move them all out of hotels and redistribute them across the southeast to family homes, which include family homes in Medway. And I found out through Medway Council that they are in talks at the moment, the Home Office are in talks, about which homes in Medway they can put unaccompanied asylum seekers in, family asylum seekers, single male asylum seekers in. And I want to ask questions about this because in Medway, we have a slight lax policy on chopping up homes into what they call homes for multiple occupation, HMOs. It's quite easy to do. And we're actually advertised nationwide as a soft touch for landlords looking to convert family homes into homes for multiple occupants. Indeed, Khan, the Labour MP locally,
Nishaba Khan,
she actually called for her, on her own side in Medway Council to make these changes, and they thus far haven't brought any forward. So I was like, wow, we need to go on this. It's very important that we stand up for ordinary people and fairness, particularly as we don't have a sustainable housing supply locally for our own residents already.
Mm.
I was not supported on that either.
Were you sort of pushed back, told we're not interested in that full stop, or fobbed off? What was the sort of reaction?
On the committee where I was attempting to ask questions relating to asylum seekers, I was removed from the committee by my own group. And I made a big protest about it and asked them to reinstate me, and they didn't.
So you've said in your sort of statement that announced your defection to Reform that it wasn't that you had moved away from the party. It was that the party had moved away from you. So in that sense, were you sad to have to leave the Conservative Party, or annoyed that basically it kind of been forced upon you in that sense?
Very sad, because 15 years of my life, I've been supporting the Conservatives, and I've worked for them for the last 8 years. So the idea of leaving them and all of that sort of friendships and bonds that you have was quite difficult. But I thought people would be sensible about it. I have been surprised at some of the reaction, though, from some local Conservative people who really, really bitter. But by and large, people have been supportive. I've had overwhelming support, though, from my residents and my new Reform fellow members who are so welcoming, and they're just ordinary people like you and I.
You made your Conservative colleagues aware that you were going to be making this move before it was formally announced. What was that conversation like? Did they try to get you to stay and reconsider?
No, I'm very sensible with how I conduct myself with my colleagues. So, for example, George Perfect, who I think is a very talented person, is a friend of mine. I've been speaking to him for quite a long time about Reform, asking him what he thinks the benefits of going over, where do you think they're going? So this is come as no surprise to anyone.
Well, in his response to your defection, he said that he wanted you to, or thought you should, reflect on your own part in the mistakes of the last government. And Andrew Lawrence, another Tory councillor, a former colleague of yours, said that he thought that you would, in the long term, regret the decision and called Reform a populist party with no soul, no beliefs, no policies and no talent. What's your reaction to those sorts of comments?
To Andrew's comments, I find that very interesting. Very interesting indeed, why he would say such a thing like that, especially given his own view, his own thoughts that he's had. With regards to George Perfect's statement, I mean, I understand why he's put it out, right? But the truth is, anyone that knows me knows that I fought vehemently inside the machine for a totally different direction. I said to them, guys, something is going on, a movement is going on in America. It's actually all about the dynamic realignment of the West, as it's called, right? And I said, you need to go much harder on things like immigration, much harder on things like the cost of living, all the things that people genuinely care about. And I was laughed at. I was totally laughed at. But then when you look at the result that came, and then the fact that Reform has adopted that exact position and how well they're doing since, I feel very much vindicated. So yeah, I understand why he said it, but it's not very accurate.
Another thing that followed the announcement of your defection was a story in The Express, which reported that a parliamentary investigation had upheld an allegation of bullying and intimidation of a colleague against you last year. Did that play any sort of role in your decision to make the move from the Conservatives to Reform?
No role at all. I'm not surprised with the story, to be honest with you. It's written by a journalist who's worked for The Express for 2 months, who was a former press officer at CCHQ. Very much a hit job, organised and orchestrated, because they're really angry that I defected.
Are you surprised by that sort of behaviour, or is that sort of par for the course?
No. And in fact, the worst things since I've dared to defect have been the more personal stuff that I've received over text from people that I, at one time were very close to. And it's kind of surprised me, really, because a lot of the talk goes around this word tribe. What tribe are you in? The tribal loyalty and things like that. I think they forget that actually the purpose of political parties is to win power so that you can make change for other people. You know, political parties for me are not like a fundamental way of life. It's not a social club. It has a defined purpose. And I think when you lose sight of that, you lose relevance.
As we spoke about last time you were here, you were in sort of a major part of the Conservative Party. You were chief of staff to Richard Holden. You're a special advisor to the party as well. With that experience, do you expect that Reform will be coming to you about sort of the operations of a major party and how to operate within Parliament?
No, I don't think so. That's not the way Reform seems to operate at all. Reform are very much one where they actually focus on their local members. It's really kind of refreshing. I mean, one thing that I will just do in myself is I will help try to convert the very motivated members they have to very effective campaigners on the ground, because they lack that kind of residual experience that rests in the more established parties. But no, there's no quid pro quo or deal or anything like that.
But in terms of, because last election, last year, Reform came very close third in all of the Medway seats, did very well. You know, that's not unusual. That's quite the case for lots of constituencies across the country. If they get sort of more people of your experience, more sort of Tories who have that experience of fighting these campaigns and can tap into that enthusiasm that, as you say, is there. Do you expect that next time around we'll see a huge swathes of those seats going to Reform?
I think it depends. I think Reform have to be careful that they're not just seen as a continuation of what once was before. But they're very selective in take. And they ask you things like what you believe in. They ask you things like what you want to change for the country, you know? They actually want people who want to change things for the better, ordinary people. And I really like that.
Mm. So was it a case in when you came to sort of think about moving to Reform that you almost had to, not audition, but you had to prove that you were a true believer in that sense? It wasn't a case of, oh, well, I'm, you know, I think I'm, to sort of weed out those people, because there are accusations that there's people who are just going whichever way the wind's blowing. Was it more of a case of you had to say, well, I'm not just going to say I'm Reform, then I'll stay in. I actually believe in this. Was that a part of the process?
Yeah, absolutely. And the members have a say, you know, the actual members have a genuine say. And they can choose to have you or not, which I think is, again, really different to how the Tories do things and really refreshing.
Again, last time you were here, I think the last question I asked you was if you were considering, you know, did, because you ran in the last general election for Parliament, and you said that you were definitely interested in doing it again, but you wanted it to be somewhere local. Can I expect that next time around you will be standing for Reform, probably for the Chatham and Aylesford seat? Is that a reasonable expectation, or are you not decided yet?
I mean, it's not up for to me to decide, right? It's up to, again, the ordinary members to decide who they opt to go with. Everyone knows I have ambitions to be a member of Parliament. You know, that's not something that's novel. That's not an exclusive, unfortunately. but actually, I take the view that actually, if you go around and prove yourself and introduce yourself to members, come the time, if they want you, they'll have you. That's my approach. So, there are also lots of very other talented people in Chatham and Aylesford, very capable.
From now on, you'll be sitting with the other Reform members on Medway Council, and who, for those who aren't aware of Medway Council full council meetings, they're sort of behind-ish the Tory party benches. Do you think that because of your move and people might in those Tory seats might be looking around and saying, oh, well, Robbie's gone and he seems to be doing all right. You know, do you expect that we will see more defections as time goes along?
I certainly expect people to be looking and taking note. I'm expecting some underhand comments to be made at the first full council in a couple of weeks' time for sure. But in terms of people showing their hand to be interested, there are people who have already showed their hand and expressed to me that they're interested. Which is quite amazing. I also don't rule out it being only from the Tory side. I think you could actually end up seeing in the long term some Labour members actually come over too.
Something to be watching out for in the near future. So thank you for coming back again, Councillor Robbie Lammas.
Thank you very much.
They said it was make or break for Kemi Badenoch's first conference speech as leader of the Conservatives, despite being temporarily upstaged by 20 defections to Reform. So, Nikki, where do you think Kemi goes from here?
Well, we've seen that Kemi's been saying that she thinks that voters are switching to Reform as a protest, but I think she may be underestimating them. That may have been the case a few months ago, but I think that as the weeks go on, an increasing number of people are finding that while they don't agree with all of what Reform has to say, they agree with some of it, and that's enough for them to put a cross in the box. I mean, let's be honest, how many of us have ever really found a political party we're happy with everything that they put forward? That's where Labour need to be really careful. I don't think your average voter ever really considers a party's whole manifesto. They pick out what's important to them and might only dish out their vote based on two or three points. So when you're talking about Labour holding on to the government and the Conservatives trying to make a real impact there, it's something they've really got to think about. When Labour were voted in, people had hoped for a massive change that would make them feel good, but the world doesn't work like that. Yes, there's been change, there's been some massive change, but many people just don't feel any better for it. Let's face it, there's only really one big topic at the moment, isn't there? But I mean, both the Tories and Labour are being punished in the polls, partly because of their failure to get a grip on the people smugglers running small boats across the Channel, and they've really got to get that sorted out. Now, September's figures from Ipsos on how people intend to vote put Reform on 34%. Labour are just on 22% and the Tories on 14%. Labour's vote share of 22% is the lowest Ipsos has recorded for the party since June 2009. The same survey revealed only 13% are satisfied with the way Keir Starmer is doing his job as Prime Minister, with a whopping 79% saying they are dissatisfied. Now, that's the lowest satisfaction rating recorded by Ipsos for any Prime Minister going back to 1977. And that's worse than the previous lows recorded by Rishi Sunak, where 59% said they were unhappy with him. And that was just months before the general election. And John Major, who clocked up the same figure back in 1994. So Sir Keir and Kemi have got a lot to think about.
Indeed. Rob, I just wanted to ask, there was a defection, obviously, from the Medway Tories to reform this week. Generally speaking, what's the mood amongst the Tories at the minute, given where they are in the polls on a local level?
I think, I mean, it's always difficult to tell because they always say they support their leader right up to the moment that they get rid of them. But I think this speech by Kemi Badenoch and this conference did give them something to be cheerful about. There are policies in there which they can support, and you know, there's nothing really wacky and out there that they're not going to agree with. And
the stamp duty thing particularly was a big winner by the signs of it.
Absolutely. And it's the sort of thing where they can say, look, we're the sensible party. We're the party of government and we've got ideas, which was better than what they had before. I think before they just had the, you know, judge us on our record. Well, a lot of people didn't like their record, so that wasn't a great position to be in.
Yeah.
I do think, you know, although that was obviously a benefit, these defections have, I think, hit them quite hard. Some of the statements from the leader of the Tories on Medway Council, George Perfect, and some of the senior shadow cabinet members, Andrew Lawrence, have come out with quite strong criticisms of Councillor Lammas, which obviously he responded to in our interview. They're obviously very upset by his defection and quite angry. And I think there is a frustration that for the Tories, they're kind of struggling with that element of being yesterday's news. It seems to them, I think, that everything Reform does is amazing and everything the Tories does is dreadful, no matter what they try and do. And I think that's a very frustrating place for them to be in. I think the other thing about Medway, of course, is that it's a Labour majority. They control the council. So to a certain extent, the Tories are kind of a bit powerless to try and do anything differently. They can't, you know, Labour do not struggle for votes and they're a very tightly regimented. Everyone follows the party line on those matters that are key for the Labour group. So the Conservatives can't really wheedle their way in and make the administration lose votes. So all they're really relegated to, like we saw last week, are call-ins where they delay a decision and then it just goes on as it would have done anyway. So they have been in this kind of difficult position of not really being able to effectively do much. Hopefully, from their point of view, this speech by Kemi Badenoch will give them a bit of a boost, even if it's slightly...
Something to take to the doorsteps, yeah.
Yeah, even though the defections have slightly maybe taken the shine off that.
Yeah, slightly. Well, I mean, at KCC, they went from, I think, 57 councillors or whatever to 5, which is a bit of a drop, to say the least. But, you know, they're a pretty tight unit. And what they've been doing, rather like the Liberal Democrats at County Hall, is they've kind of been just putting their heads above the parapet at times when they think that they want to, kind of letting things play out, let nature take its course, if you like. And they're only sort of like making pronouncements on things like finance. Harry Rayner, who's the group leader of the Conservatives at County Hall, you know, is very good as a former deputy cabinet member for finance. So he's good at sort of like pulling the figures apart and sort of asking the sort of like the pertinent and impertinent questions about what the new Reform administration is doing. But I think that we'll see in time whether they're going to get a bounce and whether Kemi Badenoch gets a bounce. But and it'll show within the polls within a few days when they come out. Dan, what's your feeling from the districts and the boroughs?
So, obviously, I should stress that the local Tories don't reveal all of their psychodramas to me, but I get the feeling that they're pretty despondent about the state of their party overall. Obviously, as any Labour member in 2019 can tell you, massive election losses can be very traumatic for the culture of political parties. And I think a big problem they're all aware they're facing, and this is kind of just the last chapter of it, is diminishing ranks of rank and file Tory members. Yeah, when the next sets of local elections come round in the country, the Tory party is going to increasingly struggle to actually find people, especially young people, to stand as councillors. You know, if you're young and politically ambitious and want a career in politics and on the right now, it's a no-brainer that you join Reform, not the Conservative Party. You know, this, like I say, this has been a long-running trend. Political parties in general have very, very few members. But now that there is a really credible challenger to the Conservative Party to be the party of the right, that's where a lot of the political energy going, as a load of the recent defection shows us. You know, borough councillors in Gravesham defecting to Reform. A few months ago, a load of borough councillors in Swale defected to Reform, which I also covered. You know, the Labour Party has a mild advantage and it's in government. So even though there is a left challenger party in terms of recruiting people, they still have a bit of an edge. They can say, well, we are the ones in charge. We are the people who can get you into the office. Whereas the Conservative Party, what pitch does it make to people in terms of recruitment and standing for office when the situation looks so dire for them?
Okay, that's your lot for this week. Thanks to Dan, Nikki and Robert for their contributions and to our special guest this week's Robbie Lammas. Don't forget you can keep an eye on Kent Online for the latest politics coverage, and you can also sign up to our politics briefing newsletter by visiting kentonline.co.uk/newsletters. And don't miss KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening original podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.